And I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. So, this is one of my favorite moments in Jesus' public ministry, if I'm allowed to have a favorite. I love this account of Jesus walking on the water simply because it is full of all the contradictions, mess, and grace that you and I live with from day to day. And in the midst of all of it, there's Jesus, completely untroubled by anything, and mildly reproachful toward the 12 for getting so excited and failing to hold on to the basics of faith and life with Jesus. Anyway, the question asked this morning, as always, is what does this give to us? How does this deliver Jesus to us so that sharing his life and grace, we can live in this world as heaven's citizens now? And it turns out the answer is pretty simple. This is a happy reminder that Jesus really is with you here now with all his love and grace. And knowing that, not just in your head as a nice idea, but knowing this in your heart and in your bones, you can carry on with the work that you were given to do with family, neighbors, co-workers, fellow citizens, and so forth. For everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Now, I know that doesn't sound too deep as far as insights into Scripture go, but this truth is important to grasp if we are to live as we are called to in this world. And we can get a sense for that by just listening to what happened here. Now, most of you have heard this account at one time or another, so let me be brief. It was probably late afternoon, early evening on the day that Jesus had fed the 5,000. And as those people who were fed began to realize what happened, Jesus gathered the 12 with their baskets of leftovers and sent them back off to Capernaum. And what's funny is that no one seemed concerned that they were taking the only boat they had. No one asked Jesus how he was going to get back. And with the 12 sent off, Jesus then dealt with the crowd and he dismissed them. And finally, he went off by himself to pray, which you may remember was one of the reasons he had come to this remote place to begin with. He was seeking comfort and strength in his Father, strength to bear with the weight of John the Baptist's cruel execution, strength to set his face resolutely to go to Jerusalem, fulfill all that he was given to do. Now, in all likelihood, the boat trip back to Capernaum should have only taken a couple of hours, but because of the wind, the boat was in heavy water, making little progress. Yet the 12 kept rowing, even as darkness came. No one gave up, and interestingly enough, none of the Gospels report that anyone was afraid. Now, a year earlier, when they'd gotten caught in a storm on the sea, then they were afraid, and they reproached Jesus for sleeping through it all. But here, we don't hear about fear. Yet I think we can sense exhaustion. If it was about 6 o'clock when they left and Jesus didn't come to them until the fourth watch of the night, which began around 3 a.m., then they'd been trying to get home for some 9 hours or so. And I don't know about you, but 9 hours of travel wears me out. And that's without choppy water and having to row. So I think we can safely imagine that the 12 were tired, wet, frustrated, worn out. Perhaps they were tempted to just stop rowing and drift with the current. All they knew was that they were getting nowhere fast. Does that feel familiar? Wearing yourself out, but feeling like you're making no headway? In this life we have, there are all sorts of circumstances that wear us down, exhaust us mentally, physically, spiritually. We may not be afraid that disaster will befall us, but we often feel like there's nothing left in the gas tank. Sometimes it's something like taking care of the house, or doing schoolwork, or trying to finish a project at work that keeps getting more complex rather than simpler. Sometimes it's a matter of struggling against a temptation or sin. You keep trying to find ways to make it go away, keep it in check, resist its lure, but it stays, continues to tempt, keeps trying to drag you back into the mire. Sometimes we get worn out from enduring a wrong, bearing with injustice. We know we're supposed to overcome evil with good, turn the other cheek, take our anger, our sorrow, bitterness to Jesus. We know that we are called to forgive and reconcile, but at times it seems too much to ask. The waves and the wind are against us. We're only human, we complain. Anyway, there are times when I think we can empathize with what the 12 must have been thinking and feeling there in the dark as the wind and the waves lash at them. And then Jesus came to them walking on the sea, which bears some consideration as well. He didn't fly. He didn't magically appear out of nowhere. He walked to them a long way. The Greek says it was many stades, which is something along the lines of a few miles. Point is, Jesus didn't just saunter a few hundred yards to where they were. He walked all the way. He exerted himself as a man. Yes, he walked on water, as the man is also Lord of land and sea. But here the point is, he didn't come in glory and great power. He isn't Yahweh from the Psalms coming with thunder and lightning and dark clouds, bowing down the heavens to rescue his people. Jesus here is meek and mild, limits himself to his human flesh. He simply walks to them. And the grammar suggests that he got right up to the boat. And that's what terrified them. Jesus walking on the water at 3 a.m. didn't look like help. It didn't look like comfort. The 12, caught up in superstition, forgetting who Jesus is, exhausted, could only think, it's a ghost. And I think we know that too. That fear that can come in the middle of the night. You're tired, you want to go to sleep, and then you hear that creak in the house somewhere. Your mind races. What is it? The disciples were tired, getting nowhere, and Jesus came to them unexpectedly, and they were afraid. Does this happen to us, that Jesus comes or sends us help in an unexpected way and we get gripped by fear? Spiritually, at least, I suspect we know something like this when we have to confess something to the pastor, right? We've tried to hide it and fight it, and it comes to light anyway, and suddenly he's there, the pastor. What's he going to say? Is he going to scold me? Is he going to shame me? Is he going to kick me out of church? Anyway, Jesus wasn't going to leave them in fear. Notice immediately he addressed their fear and superstition. He said, take heart. That is, don't be terrified. Have courage. You're going to get where you're going. Your struggle's coming to an end. Take heart, it is I, Jesus, God in the flesh. Don't be afraid. I'll take care of this. And Jesus does that with us too. Week after week, he is with us. He comes to us. He tells us he's got the situation at hand. All we need to do is rest in him, in his word, in his grace, and follow his lead. Listen to him rather than to our own thoughts. For faith comes by hearing. Here he comes through the word of Christ. And there on the sea, all the 12 needed to do was take Jesus into the boat, and all would be well. But Peter. He's nobody's fool. He's not going to trust what some 3M water walker says without some proof. Lots of folks can say that they're Jesus, but only one can be Jesus. So Peter issues the challenge. If it is you, prove it. Show that you can help us. Make me a water walker too. And then I'll just walk to the shore. Is it you, Lord? Can you really help? We know those questions too. And Jesus says, yes, it's me. Yes, come walk. I can help. I can help even doubters, even folks with weak faith. And sure enough, Peter does walk to Jesus. The Lord came to him. He's with the Lord. All should be well. Now, Jesus is right there next to the boat, so the distance that Peter had to walk isn't far. And I always like to see this moment in my mind's eye. You know, Peter getting one leg over the side of the boat and setting his foot tentatively on the water, happily surprised to find it firm, and then getting the other leg over and planting both his feet while still holding onto the boat, and then full of wonder and bravado, turning to Jesus and taking bold steps. But Peter. There he is, right next to Jesus. And what got his attention? The wind. And so he began to sink, because he was more afraid of the wind than he was able to trust Jesus. And that's us again, right? We know Jesus is here, but we get afraid. We get afraid of disease, of death, of politics, of people, of the economy, of the weather, of health, family, peers, the boss. The list of things that we're afraid of, it's near endless. We get afraid and we forget, and we begin to sink. And immediately Jesus reached out and took hold of Peter. Why did you doubt, O you of little faith? And Jesus gets hold of us with his word, with his spirit, with the sacraments. And he asks us gently, why did you doubt? Anyway, Jesus got into the boat. The wind ceased. The other evangelists tell us that they arrived at the other shore. And knowing Jesus, the 12 worshipped him as God in the flesh, who subdues the waters and walks upon the seas. You are the Son of God. And we worship him because he carries us, he blesses us, he makes us his, so that we can keep on with the work that we are given in him. Not worried about the progress we're making or the dark or the wind, but knowing that he will come, that he does come to be with us here, now, and always. He is Lord of creation. He is come to set things right. Professor Gibbs from the St. Louis Seminary, in his commentary on Matthew, sums up this moment by noting that Jesus comes cloaked in what the world considers weakness. For the visible power and glory will only come at the last day. So now there is what is gentle and subtle, the little things, Jesus works in these unspectacular things to show his love and his patience to all. For he took our sin and death and let it kill him so that he could burst forth from the grave as Lord of life, Lord over death, Lord over all that would destroy or harm his people. And at times he watches us as we struggle against wind and wave in the dark, so that coming to us at the unexpected hour, we can know him as Lord over all that we struggle with, and then worship him. For he has come to bless not the high and the mighty, but the poor in spirit, the weak, the struggling, sinners. He's come to save you, me, all of us. So trust in him. He is with you, which means that you can carry on with the work of your calling, no matter how tired you are. Jesus has come to you to strengthen and carry you as you bear his light into the world with love and grace. Even so, amen.